I'm not going to hold you too long because June's done told me we got a reunion to go to. And so anyway. But I'm glad you're here. I really am. I appreciate you coming. I appreciate each one of you. I appreciate this church. I want to talk to you about verse 17 of Romans chapter 3. Notice in verse 17, the way of peace have they not known. You notice Paul didn't say the way of peace we don't know. The way of peace have they not known. Well, who's they? Well, look back in the passage and you find that Paul talks about in verse 9, what then, are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they're all under sin. Well, he's talking about Jews, he's talking about mankind. And he describes them, he said in verse 10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. I hear people say, well, I sought God in an old-fashioned altar. No, you didn't. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursings and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. That's mankind without the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you was. That's what I was. We're unprofitable. There's none good, no, not one. And the way of peace have they not known. I want to talk to you about the way of peace. Now I realize that we've preached about there's two different peace. Look in Romans chapter 5. And he says that in verse 1. Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So you got peace with God. That would have to be like, look back in while you're there in chapter 5. Look over there and come down in the passage, verse 6. For when we were without strength in due time, Christ died for who? Ungodly. Verse 8, for God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Verse 10, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Enemies. We're at war. We was the opposite of God's righteousness. We were unrighteous. There was none good, no, not one. And we were enemies. And one day we saw that Jesus Christ died for us. And we realized that he died for enemies. Somebody come and preach to you. Do you know what? And you trusted the Lord, and you have now peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. You're no longer an enemy. You are a son. You are in the body of Christ, and you are in Christ, and you have his righteousness, not your unrighteousness. Your righteousness is no good. So you have peace. You'll find in the word peace, it's translated quietness in Acts chapter 24, verse 2. That word is also translated rest In Acts 9:31, the churches had rest after Paul got saved. So what is peace? It's quietness. It's rest. The war is over. There's no battle. You see, I one time fought against the Lord. I rejected the Lord. My mind was a carnal mind, and a carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And we were on opposite sides. We were separated, but our sins had separated us. But Jesus Christ died for our sins and paid for our sins, and the thing that separated us from God Almighty, He took out of the way, and we were reconciled together through His atonement, and we received that atonement and become one with the Lord Jesus Christ. No more fighting. So I have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody agree? Then we find that there, look at the opposite of this. Look back in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 57. And notice the opposite in Isaiah chapter 57 verse 19. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is afar off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord. And I will heal him. But the wicked, say, well, I'm not wicked. If you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are. You're ungodly too. Look what he said, but the wicked are like the troubled sea. When it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. The wicked don't have peace. This world does not have peace. They're hunting it, but they don't have it. They're always spewing out their old mire and garbage. They're always hunting something. They're unsettled. They're like the ocean. They're like the seas. And there's no quietness and calmness to the oceans. It's always in a turmoil. Always churning up. Waves coming in. And all the filth and everything washing in and washing in. That's the way the wicked is. No peace. And if you're lost, you don't have peace. And you fight against peace. And you fight against the thing that can bring you peace. And quietness and rest. My soul's in turmoil for years, and I had religion, but I didn't have God. I didn't have the Lord. I didn't know the Lord. And one night, when I trusted Christ as my Savior, there was a calmness, there was peace, there was the serene, quietness come over me, and I realized I was saved. Has that ever happened to you? Or are you just churning up all the time? You see, your religion can't give you peace. It can't give you quietness. It can't give you rest. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can do that. And that's why people don't like preaching. That's why people don't like come to church. It's because they get tore up. They see the real and they realize that ain't what they have. And you're lost. All you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Look back in Romans chapter 5 and notice where he said in verse 11. Romans 5:11, and said, not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Well, Jesus Christ made the atonement. God was up there, and we put it up here. And you couldn't get to God. There's no way for you to get to God. How you going to get to where God is? Well, you couldn't. So what did He do? You're down here. You're an old sinner down here. God up here. You can't get to Him. What's going to join you to Him? You're unholy. Your mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Your feet are swift to shed blood. There's none good, no, not one. How in the world? The way of peace, you don't know. How are you going to find peace? Well, you come to the Lord Jesus Christ and you receive the atonement. You receive what He did for you. You believe that He died for your sins. Notice something about this thing. Turn with me over there and look in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, the way of peace. So there's peace with God. This was it. And that's why you see what the gospel's called? Romans chapter 10, verse 15. Romans 10, 15. Notice what he said there. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of what? Peace. And bring glad tidings of good things. People say, well, what's the gospel? Oh, it's the death, burial, and resurrection. No, it's not. That's the historical facts. What is the gospel of peace? What is the gospel of glad tidings? What is the good news for you? Not that He died. Not that He was buried. Not that He arose the third day. What is the good news? The gospel that will bring peace to you is that He died for your sins. All of them. And took them out of the way. And your sins are gone. Now that's good news. That's peace when you receive it and you become one with the Father and one with the Lord Jesus Christ and you become a part of His body. Peace. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, and notice there in verse 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How can I have peace? Through the gospel. Believing the gospel. Not the historical facts. You have people all over the world today. And they're in synagogues and churches and buildings. And they're talking about the death and burial and resurrection. But they don't preach that Christ died for all your sins. They don't tell the people that their sins is took out of the way. They preach it like this. They preach you're born here. And you get saved here. And you're going to leave the world here and all the sins in here was forgiven at the cross. But these sins from the time you get saved until the time you die, you got to confess them to get forgiveness. Well, I'm telling you, that's not peace. Why is it not peace? Because I might leave one out. And what about those sins that I don't think that are sins that when I realize it and the Lord says, oh yeah, they're sins. Well, I didn't know it was a sin, Lord. Well, you didn't confess it, so you're off. I mean, folks, think about it. If Jesus Christ in AD 33 died for your sins, how many of them was future?
all of them, beloved. They didn't leave part of them for you to try to catalog and remember. What did he do? He took them all. He got rid of all of them and made atonement and bore God's wrath for you. That's the gospel of peace. People today that don't believe in the eternal security of the believers, not trusting in the cross, they can't have peace. The Carmelite, the Catholics, and all the others, they can't be sure they're going to heaven because they don't know whether they're going to make it or not. You going to heaven? Well, I hope so. I'm doing the best I can. The best you can do is just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Your sins, He made the atonement. It's the gospel of peace. Now, I want to talk to you for the next few moments about the peace that's in here. We have peace with God. But you live in a body of flesh. And then the peace of God. You've seen the difference of them. Look with me and you'll find that this... come over to Romans. You're in Romans. We'll just stay in Romans for a while. I should have had you to hang on. But look in Romans chapter 14. If you've been translated into the kingdom of His dear Son, look at this thing. Verse 17. Romans 14, 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy and righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now the peace of God, that's a different thing. You can have peace with God and be a part of Christ and not have the peace of God. What is the peace of God? Well, Robbie's read the passage before. Look in Romans, turn with Philippians, I mean. And notice this thing about Philippians in verse 6, chapter 4, verse 6. So the kingdom of God is in righteousness and peace and joy. That's what your life ought to be. You ought to have peace because you have His righteousness, and you can joy in the fact that you have your sins took care of and you're in Christ. That old flesh gets in the way, don't it? Look what he said in verse 6 in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Now you might have peace with God today, and I hope all of you do. And I hope you have that quietness and that rest as far as your salvation is concerned. The peace with God has to do with your salvation. The peace of God has to do with your life and here in the world and your walk down here geographically in this body of flesh. Now look at this thing. He said, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be worrying about stuff. But in everything, the good, the bad, the ugly, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You ever get down, thank God for the bad things that happened to you? Are you thankful? Do you realize that word thanksgiving there? I mean, it shows up about everywhere prayer shows up. There's no need in praying if you're not thankful. Now look. Notice this thing. Back to Romans. We're to be filled with this. We're to have the peace of God. We're to be filled with this peace. In Romans chapter 15. Notice in verse 13. Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. You can't grow without this peace. And God wants you to be filled with joy that you're in here and you have this peace. Your everyday walk of life. We wring our hands. Oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what's happening. Lord, what's wrong here? And all that. That's not peace. That's not quietness. That's not rest. Peace. That's fret. That's not being filled. That's sympathy seeking. That's wanting somebody to feel sorry for you. That's wanting you're the victim all the time. I'll tell you where the victim was. You put your life up against him. You go to that man called Paul and you look at his life. Ain't none of us been strapped to a pole 3 times and beat with 39 stripes with a cat of 9 tails and have a lashes. He said, I bear on my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. He was scarred from head to toe for preaching the gospel and suffered shipwreck. And he'd been in the deep and the perils of water. And perils among his countrymen and perils among robbers and thieves. He had his life threatened for preaching the gospel. And you, when you look at your problems and you put your problems and my problems up against the Apostle Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ, my Lord, we ain't got no problems. Nothing wrong. And we let our little molehills and our anthills that we think are mountains keep us from having peace. Am I preaching today? Peace. I want you to enjoy the peace of God. I hope you got peace with God. If you have peace with God, your salvation, you don't worry about it. Then you shouldn't worry about your life and the things and the circumstances. Why? If you have the peace of God in your heart, filled in your heart, you know the Lord is still on the throne. And whatever happens, it happened for a reason. And thank God for it. It's hard to do, isn't it? It's about as hard as Robbie's verse in Timothy to be content with such things as you have. I had never attained to that verse yet. I've always wanted something else. It's almost as hard as to look trouble in the face and say, oh Lord, thank you for it. Don't understand it, but thank you. You know, I don't always do that. A lot of times, y'all know me. I remember that time I've told this. Y'all know when I get aggravated and job. And I look around, Lord, here I am preaching your gospel, preaching the word, trying to preach it rightly, divide, and have to get out here and work like I have to work, and these other characters then go down there and buy them sermon outlines, and they just full time in their church, and just get bitter. You know what happens? It doesn't affect the Lord, it affects me. I lose that peace. Come home from a Bible conference one few years back. Boy, had a good one. And I was, on fire. And it was like old Bud Robinson's I read where he's talking about how the birds was singing in his soul. And he was happy, And all of a sudden I was going down the road doing about 70 miles an hour. And there's a guy on the side of the road. And he just whooped right out in front of me. heart like that, boy, I'm telling you, I let him have it. Didn't hit him, I just, you know. The birds quit singing. The joy seemed to fade away. And I got bitter. You know something, folks? I kill you peace. Why you won't let some circumstance? Well, under the circumstances, I guess I'm doing as good as I can do under the circumstances. Well, why don't you get out from under the circumstances? Why do you want to be under them, beat up there? We're seated together in heavenly places. Why ain't you looking down on them? We let things in our life and problems destroy our peace that we can have with the Lord. We're to be filled with peace. This peace passes all understanding. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. God is the author of this peace. He wants you to have His peace. He wants you to trust in Him, as Robbie brought out. He wants you to put your confidence in Him. I guarantee you, I could go around and say, look, how many believe that God Almighty can save the vilest sinners? And I guarantee you, you'd all raise your hand. Wouldn't you? I could go around and I'd say, do you believe the Lord can do anything He said He can do in His Word? Oh, yeah. Then why can't you trust Him to work things out in your life? And if it don't get worked out, then leave it with Him and say, the Lord didn't want it worked out. One of the greatest things in my life was when I come to the realization that I'm not the CEO of my life, and I resigned from being the CEO of my life, and I just said, Lord, it's Your ministry, Your life, and You do as it You please, and whatever, it's You. And I got peace. But as long as you try to figure it out and fight against it and buck up, you will not have peace. Why do you want your peace destroyed? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of what? Peace. As in all the churches of the saints, God is the author of peace. You're to let this peace rule in your hearts. Look in Colossians. In Colossians chapter 3. In Colossians chapter 3, and notice verse 15. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. If you got the peace of God ruling in your heart, then you will be thankful. Not just when you're on the mountaintop, but you'll be thankful in the valley. I wish Robbie could win the lottery, don't you? I do. But he's probably right. We both probably end up on the island somewhere. But folks, it's whatever the Lord wants. Don't you understand? You're not your own anymore. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, he said in verse 19, chapter 6 of 1 Corinthians, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? You don't, You don't own yourself no more. Why? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And you can't do that if you don't have the peace of God ruling in your hearts. Because if you don't have the peace of God ruling in your hearts, you're not trusting the Lord. You're trying to run your life and everybody around you. And you're destroying your peace. What keeps you from ruling? What keeps this peace from ruling? Well, look in Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to close. I've been going for 30 minutes, Luke. In Ephesians chapter 2. Notice what he said in verse 13. He's talking about the Gentiles here. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometime were afar off and are made nigh by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Now what keeps you having the peace of God ruling in your heart? You have erected a wall. I'm going to spiritualize this and use this. Folks, you know what would keep the Ephesians, the Gentiles, out of worshiping Gentiles from having fellowship with them other Ephesians and other members of the body of Christ that was in the covenants of power? Because there would be a wall there. They were doing things according to the law and under certain ordinances where these other ones wouldn't. And these might think they're a little better. So Paul said, it's gone. Made both one. You that are saved, you're one in Christ. And you're in a body that's not to have any walls. And not only there's walls and schisms in the body that causes the body from having peace, but in your life you erect walls that separate you from having peace, and it keeps you from having it. You say, well, what are you talking about? Well, look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Brother, that one right there is a hard verse for me. You know what he's saying? Whatever comes out of your mouth and you communicate with words, whatever comes out of your mouth, it should edify and build up people, not tear them down. And you know something? That's saved and lost. Look what he said. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. That word grieved is translated sorrow in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. We sometimes, our words that come out of our mouth causes sorrow to the Lord. It makes Him sorry. He's sorrowful by the way that we talk and do. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All of these things that are in us, this bitterness and malice and these evil speaking, tearing people down, folks, that's a root and it grows and becomes a tree and it keeps people from having the peace of God ruling in their heart. Verse 32, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Why in the world, folks, would you want the Lord to treat you like you treat other people? Paul said over there in 1 Corinthians about a man that said, put him out. He'd committed fornication and with his own father's wife, and he said, put him out. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, he says, forgive him and bring him back. For we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. You know, one of the devices that Satan uses against a believer is unforgiveness. You want to know what a wall is? It would be an unforgiving spirit. You know what some people's problems are? They don't forgive one another. And they hold grudges. And they don't forgive. And they won't forgive themselves. And it causes bitterness. You don't see this word? It's in their hearts. It's walls. It's barriers. Bitterness is like a root. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. You do not want to ever be bitter. Don't let bitterness get in there. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Use this for an application. But he said, follow peace with all men. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now you can't fall of the grace of God. Look at the last part of the verse. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I'm just wanting you to see that verse to let you know that bitterness is like a root. I went behind our shed down there. We got kudzu. I'm a kudzu fighter. I've been battling kudzu for 20 some years. We had that pushed off there behind the shed there where we live at. And there's roots in there, and them roots sprout. And I see them kudzu vines. I spray them, I chop them, I go after them. There's another root, and it's just a constant battle to keep them roots from sprouting up and taking over. You know something? You get a bitter spirit in your heart, and that bitter spirit is like a root, and it'll spring up and take you and consume you and keep you from having the peace of God that He wants you to have. Be ye kind one to another. Let all put away all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking, all malice, all that old garbage inside you. Let's say, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Does God ever bring up your sins to you? Come on, folks, does he? Why? He forgave you. How are you to forgive one another? Huh? Christ forgive as Christ has forgiven you. I forgive. And then you get mad at them, and boy, you club them over the head with it. Huh? Then you hadn't forgive. You hadn't forgave like Christ forgave. So I'm not Christ. He wouldn't have told you to do something that you couldn't do. I want you to enjoy the peace of God. How is it? Walking, knowing He's on the throne. My last verse, and I promise, David's done held up to 35. It's about 40 now, but look in one other pattern, like in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. You know why you ought to forgive like Ephesians says, though? Because you know none of us is worth the gunpowder to take to blow us into hell. And we might, and whatever somebody's done to us, or whatever somebody's hurt us by saying something to us, or whatever it is, we've done it to other people, and we're just as sorry and as they are. And so we're to forgive like God forgave us and quit letting this old root of bitterness and dig it out and get rid of it. Now look what he said. For we know, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Do you believe that? We know all things. Is that the good? And that's the bad, and that's the ugly. Wouldn't it be awful to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and the Lord say, Brian, you see what I could have done with you? Look at this crown of gold over here and precious stones and silver. But you had that old spirit in you, and that old spirit, it bothered you, and it was a root of bitterness in you, and you got so bitter I couldn't even use you. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't realize it. I just let the flesh have control. Well, you had my word. You had preachers preaching it, but you didn't want to give it up. And that's what you lost. You spend a little minute time down here. What's 50, 60 years down here to compare to eternity up there? So for 50, 60 years down here, you had all of that inside you. And you lost all of this over here. And you say, oh Lord, I didn't realize. I'm so sorry. Folks, don't let that happen to you. Let's love one another. Be kind one to another. Tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. And grieve not. Don't make the Holy Spirit sorry for your actions. Amen. Y'all boys got that prize? I'm headed that way. Y'all can go.